I don't have a gavel, so I bang the phone.
That's all right. I don't need one.
I'll call a meeting door at 5:32, according to my old watch here.
Did you know about this?
Who, her?
Ken Wishnick?
Sure, we were all here at the same time.
Oh, right,
you didn't
hear. Oh, yeah. What's his article last week?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The old business, this is about the appointment applications. Everybody should have a copy of everybody that has applied and their resume. Only one current member didn't submit a resume. That was Paul. Okay, I'll take your word for it on the last bit of the name.
So you should have a letter, though?
Your name?
And also, we have somebody that submitted a resume, and we have not contacted the legislative office for an interview, and that's noted on the second page of your packet. So, we're looking at the resumes, they're attached, and then we want to look at some interview questions for the interviewees beginning next week.
I want to make a note that when you get to my block, I will be excusing myself and leaving the room.
So you said to put pressure on him and get your race.
Who's your boss? Mike. Oh.
Good. So, okay, that's not a problem. Just note it when you... So questions? Has anybody come up with any questions?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go, Chris.
So, one question I would have would be when looking over a prospective business that is requesting a pilot tax break, when you see the number of jobs in their business proposal that they're claiming to generate through their successful application of their business, what methodologies would you employ to calculate whether or not you think this business will generate that many jobs? Something to that effect.
Okay. All right, really, that person, like the idea, may have no idea how the idea that mechanism works.
And the reason on the website, a matrix and a calculator.
Yeah,
they have a matrix set up. There is a job calculator. There, you ought to check out the website.
Yeah, I actually think that's
obvious.
Yeah, there's a matrix. And it explains, like, if you have this number of jobs, it, because of job growth, it's several different topics in there.
So in rephrasing my question then, like, how would you, so essentially, how would they determine whether or not if a business claims you're going to create, let's hypothetically say, 27 jobs, and only create 3?
So it's part of the
review.
And it's part of the application process.
That's one of the things, not to jump in, but that's one of the things that was changed in the past situation where there was a discrepancy between the application and, I believe, in the contract. Let's just say there were two separate documents. Now they are
one and the same.
One number's here, same number has to be there, and they have to be met.
What role is it up the board to make a determination if that's a plausible figure or not?
It's part of the application process, and it's all explained in there. You have to explain it as you apply. You have to justify what you would do.
I think it's an affidavit on the application.
So the individual...
Nobody is going to... I mean, prospective business, I mean, if you're... No, you're going to employ 100 or 125. You're not going to put 150.
Well, it's so it's a business where it's contingent upon how many customers you generate. Like it's not like a manufacturing.
Well, I think if you look at the matrix, there's initial. Then I believe there's also futuristic kind of things that you can look at. It's all part of that matrix. But the person coming cold off the street may not know that.
Right.
So you look at that. What else? What
do we ask? I mean, normal pedigree. Are you on any other boards? town?
It's pretty much here. I mean, I kind of went back even a little step further. Like, you know, understanding, like, some of the folks are already IDA members. Just for the new people coming on board, have they done a little research? Do you understand the role of an IDA member? And, you know, what experiences do you have? Do you
just
have
the mission statement. That's one thing.
Yeah, I have that. Okay. Thank you. You want a mission statement and... the elements of things that they could assist with, which I think are but also, really asking them to translate their business experiences to the what they bring to the table to be on the IDA, which I think could be very helpful. We can assume some stuff, but I'd like to see them connect the dots. And just get a sense from them what they believe is the most important aspect of the appointment. There's many facets to it. What do they believe is the most important role they're playing in this? And then why are they interested in it?
Good.
The only other question that I had, which was really more about what we were talking about, is... And you were not here, so we said let's put it on the table, which is the interaction with economic development and the IDA. We have in our outline of what economic development does, it basically states it interacts with the IDA. So I think we, A, should probably sort that out amongst ourselves. And is there a question after we do that we would put on the table for these folks, and particularly the ones that are currently there? I know that there's relationships with some of the folks around the table here, but I'd like to see a bit of a broader relationship. I know I can't dictate what they do, but, you know...
That's a key component. I totally get that,
but that doesn't mean we can't have conversation and dialogue about... you know, broadly driving economic development, and that's what we're tasked with here. So I'm looking for how do we have a dialogue about that with the IDA that can be beneficial.
And I think it's important that you say that because the news conference say that with Focus Media revolved around the name change for the IDA and UCDC kind of combined. So we can get Suzanne Holt to come in to discuss that, whoever, you know, until a new board is in place, I can ask the current chairman to come in and talk to
us. Yeah, so that's another piece of the three-legged stool, so to speak, right? So I just feel like we, you know, if I'm looking at our role as legislators, and you can correct me here, as forward thinking. No, well, you're sitting across from me. Are you feeling a little anxious about this? You're sitting across from me. I think of what we're trying to do as being forward thinking about, okay, where are we headed, not just where we are today, because as policymakers, it has to be about some of the future stuff, I would think, as well.
So
that's why I think a conversation of roles, where, you know, what each person's doing and how does it fit with the IDA, how does it fit with Suzanne and the other component, which I don't know what that structure is.
It's now the second business alliance.
Yes.
As us. We're the alliance. Yeah.
We're the alliance?
She's the office. No, the UCDC is the Ulster County
Development Corp.
No, it's changing now.
We're the business. The alliance.
Okay.
She is the Office of Business Services and is now the Office of Economic Development.
Okay.
Yes,
we should all be having, I think, some really meaningful conversations around direction, where it's headed, because part of that will say, okay, what's the implication from a policy perspective? Again, we're not sitting there dictating to anybody, but we should at least be having
kind of strategic conversations about where they're headed from driving an economic development plan in the county.
Right.
And that's kind of what I'm hoping to get from nuts and bolts.
You'll probably, if I may, Mr. Chairman, what you'll do, what will happen is you'll get a representative from the executive's office, because the executive is the member of the new
alliance.
Correct. He is the member. What you'll do, you'll get Susan Holt, and it'll probably be, you know, I'm going to just say broad brush, because one thing that's very important, and that's something that may be a question on for the applicants, you know, confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And now think about it, you know, say somebody came in here, we went into executive session, you now have 7 or 8, 9 people that now know a company's coming, okay, that doesn't want it out there, you know, on the front page of the newspaper for whatever reason, because they're looking at 4 or 5 sites. I mean, we just had one that there was a huge, you know, meeting. We had, you know, Albany. We had, you know, everybody under the sun. We had Central Hudson. We had the IDA. We had UCDC. We had, you know, everybody, you know, that you can imagine at this table 3 weeks ago for a company that was looking to, you know, enter Ulster County.
Mm-hmm.
To be, you know, and that was for 40 or 50 jobs, so 500.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was 3 weeks ago, and so who was at the table? I'm just saying I didn't know about it, so I guess it's confidentiality, but isn't that what, I guess, so then what's the role of the committee? What is it we do or don't do? And if we're not entrusted as legislators representing our communities around confidentiality, then what the hell are we doing here, quite frankly?
I wouldn't frame it that way.
Okay.
But to say that we're going to sit here and say, no, we don't want you to do this or go in a certain direction, just to your point, I don't need to speak of him when he's not here.
Right.
Making the statement, you will come, you know, and bring us the documents before. If legislator Wishnick wants to, were you here last meeting?
I was.
You were, you know, wants to go back to information services and go through the 2 months of interviewing the people for whatever service.
Go do it. Well, I think people make that.
It can be done at this table if this committee level is.
That's not what I'm referencing. And so let me, A, be clear about that. B, I hear what you're using as an example, which I totally get it, but you know what? I think the way in which it was presented, people were misunderstanding. But again, what we're talking about here is having some information so you understand a decision process, which is that issue. But that's not the issue I'm talking about.
So
what
I see you saying is there's a business that's going to have a meeting, let's say, next week.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to buy 200,000 square feet of warehouse space. They'll employ 14 people.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to know about it as part of being on the
outside. I would think that there would be an element of understanding. Does that mean I'd have to sit at the table? No. But it would be helpful to understand what's happening or what the dynamics are, issues are.
That being said,
okay.
You know how we get the thing from being with the litigation that's presented to the county?
Mm-hmm.
I could speak to Suzanne and see if she would give us something similar, saying, okay, you know, we've got, let's say, you know, 3 people looking at half a square feet of warehouse space, looking at this or possible motel or something like that. These are some of the things we're working on through the business, through the IDA, and like that. All the particulars we don't need to know, but that would give us an idea of, hey, wow, there's some stuff going on.
Well, not only with stuff going on, I got to believe that there are things that are cropping up. I mean, are there certain things that preclude business from coming here? Are there certain things, and this goes back to the thing that, you know, I'm kind of, you know, on the gun about is the whole broadband and high-speed internet. And it's about infrastructure. And it's about, do we have the things that we need to attract business?
Well, and that was part of Josh's presentation with Focus Media today, you mentioned broadband. But part of that from Suzanne can be, you know, this is kind of what we have pending. And based on the outcome, okay, we landed them
in Ulster County, or they decided to go to somewhere else, and here's why. So then when we did kind of a list of negatives, if you will, or things that didn't allow business to work,
we should be talking about that. What can we do about these things, right?
Some of that is, Lynn, some of that is with the focus media, and these are things that we're touching on today, like strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities, and there's a lot of what we're talking about right now.
Focus media is who we're working with, economic development, and helping
them economic development, the IDA,
former UCDF,
for revamp, branding, and promoting, and economic development. Had a look at things, identified the weaknesses, broadband was weaknesses, some infrastructure was weaknesses, proximity to major highway can be a weakness, those types of things. But look at it from Suzanne. It would be lancing, but great. What were some of the things they needed that they couldn't get? So then we can say, once again, this broadband's an issue. Once again, are we going to make a four-lane highway closer to Kingston? Probably not. But maybe they need a bridge to allow them to carry an 80-ton truck type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have issues we can then address that are allowing business not to come in. That's what you're looking at, right?
Yeah, well, just so you know, I'm putting together a whole thing around, and I mentioned this to John and a couple other folks, is something around the broadband issue. And it's a big issue, because it's not just an issue in my community, it's an issue in Ulster County.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, we are not competing. We don't have the infrastructure to support high-tech businesses coming in, whether it's the medical field, whether it's technology. I mean, today, in a lot of manufacturing, businesses need the high-speed access. Now, we have the access at various points in the state, and in the county, but it's about, so what are the things that we're doing? And I think that as a legislature, we have some ability to help drive a forward vision around this, because it is about where we're going to be in the 21st century. Those are the kind of things that I think we should be talking about. It can be exciting, and yes, they've got people that's their job day in and day out. I'm talking about, more forward thinking, some of the visionaries, and it would help to understand some of those elements. You guys seem to understand this. Maybe you do as well. Maybe it's because I'm new, but some of that stuff would be very beneficial for the little piece that I'm working on. So, that I hope at some point to bring to John and to the table here. But, without understanding all those elements, it makes it, it's like you only have half the information. And I'm not here for half the information.
No,
I want as much as I can get to see where I can help and add some value.
I wonder if you can get Josh to make that presentation to the full legislature. I think he was. It was very informative. I mean, I've been to some of the other meetings, but just kind of put it all together and a lot of what you're saying was there. Strength, it's still, right? It was strength.
SWOT.
Now, strength, weakness, opportunities, and
threats.
Right now. It was very good. So let's sit
on the internet.
Mr. Chairman, is that okay? We try to track him down and give him a Josh from Focus Media, bring him in and let him make the same presentation he made at the news conference today about the Focus Media and what he's doing for UCDC and the name change and present that to the legislature. Would you mind that? We can bring him in.
Bring him in here?
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, I did see part of the dog. I'm going to show him all of it.
Yeah, but so we can make a presentation to the full body.
Well, if you have broadband, you can get it. If you don't have broadband, you don't see it on television. So, I mean, this is part of the...
You don't have a job, you don't have television.
It's so limiting.
I get Time Warner Cable. What's that? Is that broadband?
Yeah, well, I don't have...
Wait, it's not as broad as I want? I don't...
No, I don't have broadband. I cannot get Time Warner Cable.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How do you get TV?
I get TV through DirecTV. My computer internet is through satellite, and I can't even get DSL. But this is what I'm saying. These are the issues that are in a big part of our community, and therefore you have then limited access to information. So, you know, Time Warner has a channel, right, that news channel. But
in a lot of different directions without access to the Internet, you have in your marketplace, a lot of homeowners that work, they can live in Manhattan and live there.
There's more to Rochester than just second homeowners. And the reality is there are a lot of second homeowners who would love access to be able to work from up here, but there are also folks like me who then came here and started businesses. So, mm-hmm. and you know, without that, we limit our ability to expand our business base.
Right.
That's really what
I'm saying. Well, but let me, this is a rural area.
Yeah, it's all over.
Did not want cell towers. I mean, screamed for years and told everybody on a cell phone. There's people in the hinterland that have to wait a half an hour for an ambulance when they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're working on it and trying to do something with special benefit districts that this allowed, which could do a lot of things.
Chris,
getting back to the objective questions, I thought that would be sort of bouncing off what was talked about with the SWOT analysis thing, asking the prospective candidates what they personally think the strengths and weaknesses are of Ulster County for bringing economic development in here.
Okay.
Interesting. I was just during my campaign, I was doing a search and just did like a Bing search, how to bring business to small towns. And there's a 12-point article that was written by some journalists in Arizona, and it talked about the SWOT analysis. And then, that was something I brought up to the town and village boards of Sarbanes about incorporating into their comprehensive plan, and it's something that a lot of communities, a lot of that was kind of inherently already in there, but there's a lot of communities when they put forth their comprehensive plan, they're doing it the right way, but have that sort of encompassed in there.
Okay. Remember, we had 15 minutes for interviews, so it's pretty quick.
With each candidate?
Yes. So what do we have so far? Name, address, pedigree, and we have left one question. What was that question?
Well, the ability for confidentiality.
Confidentiality.
I have 9 different questions so far.
Okay.
First is, are you on any other boards in your community? What is your understanding of the role of an IDA board member? What experience do you have? What elements do you have to translate? Sorry, I didn't catch this all.
What experience do you have that will assist you in this role? Let me simplify it.
Could I make a suggestion that we have to interview a lot of jurors at once? The routine questions can be in a questionnaire that you can give out either while they're waiting or ahead of time. So if you have a bunch of routine questions, like pedigree questions, or even questions that might require some thought, if you could either email the questions ahead of time, or one thing that does is ensure uniformity, ensure you don't forget a question with one guy that you ask with another. They do that with jurors now, and it's incredibly successful.
Okay, good idea. Yeah. I'm trying to think how we frame this question based on say it, and then we can fine-tune it. When faced with a controversial local issue, how will you react, or, that just is a general thought. I assume that, because you're going to have some issues come up, a lot of things.
You're going to make some decisions that people aren't going to be happy with, right?
Up, right?
Right.
It's going to be a very contingent type of situation, though. Who's going to, there's only a multitude of possibilities.
County-wide organization or group, it's a county level. Enabled by state legislation. That's,
somebody tell me that part of the reason they do Pulse Planning Board did what they did was because they were getting a lot of heat from their friends and neighbors. And it was unpopular, so they made a popular decision.
It's going to cost them money.
Not what you get paid for.
I know what you're saying about the question. I'm trying to figure out how to ask it in a way, because it would require some, I think, at some point, some technical. I think that people are following the guideline. I'm just trying to think how you answer it to test it out. And it really boils down to following the process and the procedures of what.
And the
guidelines.
The law. And that's what the
Burt
98 did with the Burt point.
Yeah.
Whether people like it or not. But they followed the law. The law said it could be done. John?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is it's sort of on the line with what you guys are just chatting about. You know, it's the home rule issue. And I've been around outside of this place and semi inside for a long time, and I've seen the Bel Air Mountain project that the town of Shenandoah didn't want that the legislature voted for. Then Saugerties didn't want a casino, and so everybody said, well, it's a home rule issue. They don't want it. We're against it. And then there's, even last year, didn't the town of Rochester want video terminals at the thing? The county voted against it. Home rule issues, and they expand significantly from there, if you think about it. So it's a following the law and having the chutzpah to get run over by a bus and get up smiling is not an easy thing sometimes.
The IDA is set up by law, and they have nothing to do with home rule.
Let me throw something out. I'm not trying to be argumentative. I don't want to go down this road and start an argument with you, but home rule in New York State is the biggest, and especially I'll say it in this county, is number one, abused, and it's a misnomer.
Why do you think I brought it up?
Okay. You know, if something conforms to, if I want to build something in the town of Saugerties, regardless, it's legally permissible, you know, the highest and best use of the property, it meets all the zoning requirements, all
then
the
you're going to build it.
You're going to build it. Whether it be a casino or not.
Isn't that the problem you're having in Bloomingburg?
Right.
The zoning for that girl's school is there.
But everybody throws around home rule. We're a home rule state. If you read the home rule legislation, it doesn't say, I don't like your green sweaters and you can't sit there. It's the biggest...
No, but it means that you can within the law...
As long as it doesn't supersede state legislation...
It's not discriminatory.
Correct. Well, and that's one of my problems. In Westchester County, I don't know if they ever solved it. I think it was solved. Because they crafted their zoning laws to keep out the poor and the unfortunate and the folks that didn't quite have
$1 million
and that's home rule.
And Rockland County did the same thing with the sex offenders. Then remember, Ulster County tried to do it even after Rockland County had been declared unconstitutional, that they couldn't essentially like zone and all that, and we decided not to do it, but.
It's the law to do it, and you got to have the guidelines.
Well, that will not easy lens to the question when you're faced with a tough situation. You have to look at your county agencies and able by a state. You know, just because it's unpopular, you got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. That's the.
So maybe the question is, obviously we have a group that of individuals that already understand that and have lived by that, right? But we have a new group of individuals that we're going to talk to, and maybe they're from time to time you're going to be having to make some decisions that are going to be unpopular. Are you able to ensure that you're following state law and know that you may have to make a decision that will not be popular?
And that's a good way of putting it, because you're not even implying that pay attention to us.
Right, that you are guided by.
Right.
I can't believe anybody's walking into this not having done their homework, but we'll see.
When the guys with the tattoos are outside the door, and they're ready for this, not a simple thing.
Or the semis lined up and you're going into a town board meeting. Yes, I know, it's very intimidating. what it's intended to do.
That's why I made a tunnel when I was a mayor from my house into the building.
You never had to go outside.
I felt like hugging heroes. Okay,
how do we
want to
say that?
So I don't know. What would your personal feelings or sentiments be about having to approve a project that meets state criterion that is unpopular in a particular community?
Yes, it's just that way. And you know, the average person may say, I don't know, I'll try, I'll do my best, I'll, until you're presented with that, until you're presented with a, you know, like with the SAFE Act, if you remember that. I mean, that auditorium would we have 200 or 300 or 400 people in there. I mean,
nobody has it.
No.
I think there are all these before that point, like, there is something called, you know, Lockean-based personal property rights, and like he was saying, if there's business development and it meets the criterion of zoning ordinances that, you know, people do have a right to do with their property as they see fit. You know, like in Winston Farm, it's already, everybody's proposing what they'd like to see at Winston Farm, and it's like, well, gee, you know, the owners of Winston Farm want to turn it into a concert site, and that's what they're doing, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, displeasure with that in properties. You know, everybody has an opinion about it. I'd like to see college campus built there, but you know, it's, they're exercising their locking based personal property rights, and it's something that's going to get done, and it's, I think it's, you know, going to be a benefit to the community, you know, one way or another. But
anything else? So we're
going to put together
well, can we still maybe, you know, something coming, let's see what you'll get them by tomorrow or
Monday.
So then we get together, what, the second, third?
The third.
I'm just saying, we've got time to do it. And we may want to add one or two. You have a new idea? Anybody have a new idea?
I understand it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Get,
do you want this? Yeah, that would be great. And I just scribbled on it, so.
And in your packet, there was a questionnaire cheat sheet, which eventually that's what it will look like, is the goal. And,
oh, I didn't see that.
The last thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so that it has the initials of each of your candidates. So
oh, I see. Okay. All right, so we'll put the questions on here. But I do like that idea, because some of the stuff we don't, if we only have 15 minutes, let them just list their boards, you know, maybe we just figure out what questions we want to hear. Because I think a couple of them we want to hear their response. I think it's important to hear how people respond verbally.
Yeah, well, that's why I like the telephone and not a text
teacher. Oh, stop it.
Can you send out the questions with like a checkbox next to it so that we can check in and send it back, that those would be the pedic on the form?
Oh, which questions should go on a form? That's a good idea. And which ones we should ask? Should go on our questionnaire sheet.
So you're going to send it out Monday, and this is Tuesday we're doing this. Right? I'm just showing you on my schedule. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just...
Thursday.
Whoa. Who approved that?
1 year when that approved that. See, this is the kind of stuff we should be talking about.
That's a policy decision. I don't like that policy.
So how is the process going to, so we have 10 applicants for 7 positions, and this, and those 7 people, 7 of those people are on the board right now?
No, there's only six.
So 6 or 1 per day is leaving, coming 4?
Less than, yeah, you have to worry. You need to put between 4 and 7 people.
We want to know, up to 7
and 4. You have to fill in 7 people. It's a little bit of a joke.
Okay. Yeah, you want to improve that.
How many people are trying to...
Well, I need an injunction.
Is that one
person? I need an injunction.
So you're not in
there.
When you're talking about applicants coming in and wanting access to the information, you know, TJ and I, we go to the 8 o'clock meetings. Everybody's in you know, you can go. It's a public meeting.
Oh, the IBA meeting.
Correct. Right. The UCB or the new, whatever, the alliance. We go. Okay, we do not get...
Suzanne not the alliance?
She's
representing...
She's the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay.
But the point I'm going is I don't get a folder. I don't have... If I want access to the information, just like you can go to the office and ask to see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I'm, you know... You were in the big world. You lived in the big world. To go to an IDA meeting.
Well, and I'm not asking for that. I'm just what I'm trying to get at is enough of a conversation so that there's understanding of what's going on, mm-hmm. what some of the challenges are, like we just talked about. So, you know, and are there things that kind of the forward-thinking aspect of this. What can we be doing or anticipating or trying to make happen so that we can drive economic? And it's not that they're not thinking about it, but they're juggling multiple things as well.
That's why I think when we bring in Josh, that'll answer a lot of those questions. It's already identified, and that's part of what the whole alliance is working on, mm-hmm. looking at, like that, but we're getting it from the committee to Julie.
So then getting back to the procedure, so then we're going to hear the interviews in our committee, then we vote on it in committee, or we make recommendations?
Just going to queue them up.
The caucus goes to each individual caucus.
They go to the caucus and tell you all the resumes, and they can do whatever. It's a legislative decision.
Okay. And then each caucus sort of puts out their...
Well, I get a sense that you're wanting to have a group come out of this group, right?
I'd like us to make a recommendation from what we see, being informed based on the conversations that we've had,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately it's a legislative decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, let's say Tom Brink shows up and we say to him, you know, can you keep this confidential? That might be tough. I sit on the town planning board. Boy, I don't know. I don't want to make my friends with my neighbors. We might rate him real low. So I'm hoping that based on, you know, and then we would discuss our individual caucuses. You know, when Tom Briggs came in, you know, gave us all the wrong answers, we rated him really low. Because there could be somebody in the caucus that says, this is the guy from the greatest kind of world. Yeah, but in our interview, we essentially told us he doesn't want the job. So then we go back and help our caucus make that informed decision, and at the end of the day, it's a majority rule from a legislative standpoint. And you might only put, through the entire legislature, you might only find four people and you're the only one on that board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a possibility. You have to have at least four.
Is the resume process still open?
No.
Not now. It's closed.
Mm-hmm.
This is a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If all the resumes come in, I will vote on those people. I can pay them. Everybody is it's my understanding that other people have other people. That there are legislators that have people that want to still submit their resumes.
Right. Let me ask a question. What we have here in the committee is we have about a third of the legislature. 8 people, 7 people, so the vast majority is not going to be part of this decision, part of the discussion that is here. I don't know of anybody in particular with the matter, but the committee is performing a very worthwhile endeavor, but it's the committee. And the legislature, then each of the caucuses have to take from the committee members what's said, and anything else they talk about is not.
Right, but if anything else, if someone else has a candidate, what they should do is refer them back to the committee.
The committee's choice. The committee's want. That's not necessarily what I don't have anybody in particular. But if they don't, they're not prohibited from coming forward.
No. But I guess anybody
I mean, Lesnar sent it in, it's been...
As the legislature has realized, if you had somebody
there,
you would bring them up.
Well, yeah, who are you going to meet tomorrow, the next day, the day after? I don't know. Mm. And you're going through the 11th here, and then other meetings have to be set up.
I guess we'll...
You're just going to know who's coming or who's not coming. Well, you know who you have, that's for sure. But other than that, you can't say that the clock is over and nobody else allowed.
Well, you can.
Well, that's the point. You're the best people you can get.
I think you guys should have a uniform policy for interviewing everyone on every committee, every, let's say, major committee. Please, I'm a belt and suspenders person. Like, I would rather wear my belt and suspenders. As we've seen recently, let me put it this way. My job is to protect you guys, kind of. So let's say you do it this way, and then somebody says, well, how come you guys didn't investigate that Henry Jones, did you know he had the felony? I think you guys need to, at some point, maybe not next week, you need to come up with not only the way you take resumes, the way you take CVs or whatever it is, but I think that in big appointments like this, you might need to consider some type of ability to do a background check.
And we haven't discussed it, but yeah. I would think that up until the point where, let's say, the caucus is, if next Tuesday Don says, geez, you know, so this guy, he said, submitted something, I'm sure we would look at it. But everybody's looked at everybody, and we're ready to make a decision, and now at either 1 minute to 12,
right,
a new guy pops up, too late, Charlie.
Well, it's not a committee, but it's not in any... I understand that, but at some point in time,
you got to draw a line in the sand.
I could apply that to every committee in this legislature. Every decision that's made by any committee, well, I'm not happy with it. I think there should be another something.
Nobody said anything about being unhappy. The fact of the matter is, it's the legislature and not
okay. Then what good is the committee system?
Because you're making recommendations and they're important.
The point is, at the end of the day, at some point in time in any process, the committee, the caucus, somebody has to say, here's the line in the sand. And it's drawn. Because you go through the entire job, you've interviewed, you're all ready to go, and now Joe Smith pops up,
mm-hmm.
and now we're going to consider Joe. Well, you know, at some point in time, you got to decide where to study.
You have to, or nothing would ever be over.
At some point in time.
And then
I think that's a great idea. Then it needs to go before the people who establish the rules for the caucuses and what you do. If it's a caucus appointment, in this case, and the caucus
was I don't think this is a legislature, maybe, but a legislative.
You're right.
And I think that's what we have to do. At some point in time, and it's not just this case, at some point in time, you have to draw that line that says,
that's fine. And that's something
we'll have to
do. So you're saying, well, the line, basically, as far as you're concerned, the line's already been drawn, right? Because it was the 21st.
I think it is. Everybody's been notified. All the legislators have been notified. If somebody wants to come up with somebody, I'm sure we would probably still entertain it. The problem is, and Kathy, I don't know, you may find, say I'm wrong. The problem is, once you interview everybody, and you throw a set of questions out, all the resumes are out, now Tom Briggs decides he's going to throw a hat in the ring. Well, he already knows the answers to the questions, he already knows the questions.
Now, if I'm not,
he took Tom Briggs, I applied when he did,
right.
And he knew all the questions on the exam,
right.
And you picked him. Now you open yourself up to litigation also. So,
we don't have a rule. We have rules that we operate by, and it doesn't come to a particular committee decides that rule. That's decided by the legislature itself.
Well, that
and maybe that's the where it should be. But if you go from committee to committee to committee, establishing what the legislature does, you put the power of what's going on in that committee as opposed to the legislature voting on it.
But I think as this committee, as the group of people looking at resumes,
mm-hmm.
we can say this is our cutoff because we don't want to get in a position where 1 minute to 12,
somebody throws their hat in the ring where everybody else has already been checked out. And we will make the decision. If the caucus wants to say, or whomever,
so let's go ahead
and say no, and go ahead and check this guy out or whomever.
Let's go.
That'll be it.
One, two, three. And so, but four people, you don't think after the interview process they're going to bring back to your caucus with the potential candidates?
Well, all right.
So what do you need?
But the point is, each committee
can make their
way. Each committee, and that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
And he's not saying that if the caucus has a candidate that they put on the table that is not part of this process, and they get the votes to do it, doesn't mean that person's not going to get put on the board.
That's all I'm saying.
But the bigger issue, and this is the one Kathy just brought up, which we have not really discussed, is a background check. We're putting people on a board that's making financial decisions that impact our county, and, you know, we haven't
a background check. That's a very good idea. Well, you know, I was asked to vote for a project in Ellenville, and I wasn't given the background
check.
Isn't that a lesson learned? I'll throw this out.
That's what they were going to throw it in for this one, but it should be something we think about.
The last round or two rounds to go with the IDA appointments, and here's what scares me, Don. Probably at about 2 minutes to seven, one of the members that was interviewed backed out and they substituted someone who hadn't. Okay? And that person, you know what I mean? So there was a switch at the last minute. Someone said, oh no, I really don't want it, you take it. Well, you never put in an application, you were never interviewed. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what I don't want to see happen.
Right.
Now, if the caucuses have somebody, or if there's this, you know, ace in somebody's pocket that they've got, they ought to be here before the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They should be in
a week ago.
Right.
But what do you mean
they're not going to
be around?
Another question for your advocates. Would you be amenable to a background check?
Well, the public documents, the records, so you can't trust. You could do a background check.
But here's what happens a lot. A background check now can be done in 48 hours. I've talked to John about this, and John raised a really good point. The point is the information. Somebody can come in and say, yeah, when I was 18, I was convicted of a felon. You can say, you know what? You're 38 years old now. The past 20 years, you've been a superstar. We can go past that, but you guys need to have the information. With the information, you can make a decision. You can still say, listen, okay, you were convicted of a felony, we like you anyway. But I really think at some point, it's going to be by next week, and I would say this to both caucuses and to the legislative body, in a lot of positions, you guys should probably have the information at your fingertips for somebody that convicted
you. Let me ask my wife, I'm sure they may have some here. She oversees, one thing she does is hospitals oversee the volunteers. Let me see what an application she has, and based on that application, it may have some of that, like a regular job application, you know, if you ever met a few, you know, felony or arrests, and you listen
to it. Used to do fingerprinting.
Right. Yeah, I just got fingerprinted to work at the school.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to, whoever the people are, they're going to have to file the county's
financial disclosure.
Financial disclosure.
Yeah.
They're going to have Paris public authorities. Interviews in executive session or open session. I mean, it's personal information.
That's a great question. We always ask yours.
Anything we have in any of
you
in the future.
Here's the open question about executive session.
Is it in the New York Code?
So you're going to go into executive session interview these people. And then you're going to discuss the information in caucus.
That's a really strange line to be walking, both as a practical matter from an attorney's point of view, and from a wise ass reporter.
Well, you have to go into executive session and caucus.
Which we don't. You can't if it's here.
Why? We have it. Caucus is a political group, not a legislative session.
You can discuss, even in a caucus, personal information. But then you have to come out and decide, vote. But I'm not sure a caucus isn't open to the public. But the caucus is not a part of the legislature. A caucus is
a political group.
And it's open. Right.
Well, I think you can, but I'd like to be sure.
All right.
Good old days, right?
Right. Just so you know what the penalties are if you do anything wrong.
Okay.
So it was the
Chairman. It was all his fault.
All right, I just want to make sure.
But we should decide then. I mean,
did you say there's a resolution?
There's a resolution. The legislature passed a resolution of its own, making your caucuses open meetings. And if you're the open meetings law, that was about 5 years ago.
That resolution was Robert and Peter Kress and those guys a long time ago.
But that's why you guys split your caucus.
Remember you said 12 over here and 11 over there or whatever it was? But in this building, you can have a caucus somewhere else. This is the building specifically says this is a public building.
Right.
Now, if you're even going past that, I mean, it's personal, private information.
But I would think we'd be able to go into personal information.
I remember studying that with Robbie and Rich and those guys, and,
Can you check that out?
I will. I'll check out tomorrow.
I know in the town when we would have a discussion about a specific person, whether it was somebody on the staff or an interview.
But
even in an interview, we gave the option to the person being interviewed of whether or not they wanted it to do it in an executive session or publicly, which gave them
the
option. Maybe
that's fine. I'm not sure about the committee. Absolutely fine. The interview party that I think you can probably close. The discussion part, I'm going to look it up.
You raise an interesting point, but
that's all I care about. The whole caucus thing, open and closed. If there's a majority.
It was under a minority because it was a majority.
Yeah.
So that's the issue, and you want to be able to share your caucus, and therefore you could have a caucus of a legislature of a whole.
Okay, let's
look it up.
Chris, we'll get that stuff out. Okay, motion to adjourn.
So basically the question I have was, we're going to make a recommendation. How is the vote going to go down in here? Like, is it going to be, okay, everybody, like, do a secret ballot slip, or are we going to have an open discussion?
We're going to have an open discussion.
And then we're going to sort of come to a consensus on who the top 7 out of the 10 would be our recommendation?
Or just put them in order, and then they'll go to the caucuses.
So each one of us would prioritize? I'm just saying, to make it easier.
You could add it up and divide and do it that way.
Each person, after it's done, we each put on a piece of paper, okay, rank it 1 to 7, and then we go around.
If there's 10 people, they'd be ranked 1 to 10. And then add them up and then divide. So there's 5 people here today.
So then Chris is going to be doing arithmetic here.
Yeah.
And then so it'll be prioritized from the group of 7.
Yeah, and then they go
to each caucus. And then the Democrats choose 5 and the Republicans choose 2, right?
It's chosen by the legislative body.
Doesn't say something about 5 Democratic
I'm just saying, I'm voted on by two weeks of interviews.
So it goes to the body.
I don't want to go into this. So if it goes by the body, you know, if
based on majority and minority, and it goes right down party lines, yes. Essentially, the majority could have all seven positions if they decided to have seven people. It's a legislative vote.
I understand, but
it's not split up by majority and minority.
150 plus minority.
No, because I'm going to ask everybody.
It's critical.
It's not, and I think
15 minutes is really cutting it close.
A lot of the other things. You know, you have to see or hear them again. It's just, well, this is something, you know, right, that's a big deal. And when you look at it, and one thing too, you know, I know, right, I admire you do a lot of homework. You ought to contact the IDA and find out, you know, what was done in Saugerties and what was done in New Paltz and what was done in the city of Kingston, town of Ulster. You know, they never play games, they don't play politics, and I don't think I've ever seen an application denied for nonsense.
Someone said
to me, and I'll say from you, yeah, know, yeah, but I don't point yeah. that way, you know, oh, there was this. I said, can you say that? Show me an application that was ever denied because of anything.
Okay.
You got to the finish line. Maybe you didn't get to the finish line the way you still got there.
So, hopefully
done it better. With everybody here, because we're not going to do
speaking
for the legislators that are all here.
I'm speaking my this time.
That discussion comes if you want. The people in this room are going to be the most important people in that caucus. Because well, you're going to have to all of this stuff that's been happening. People are going to ask questions. You're going to have the answers. We'll probably bring people in to talk to them as well, but we're not going to have the same discussion. They're not going to have the advantage of yours in our focus. They won't hear from you. They won't
hear from you. You know what? Anybody who has that strong of a feeling about it should attend the meeting.
People need to hear what they need to hear. They have a right to say it.
Of course they do.
I totally get it,
but I'm just saying, you know, if somebody really likes to run the
city,
that would be in the best interest. And hopefully, when you're going to stand there, right ready.